Hello, and welcome to the Journal of Accountancy podcast. I'm Courtney Vian, a senior editor at the Journal of Accountancy, and today I have with me Wesley Middleton, CPA, founder and managing partner of Middleton, Raines & Zapata, and a partner at MRZ Financial. Their firm has three offices in Texas, and it's seen some incredible growth over the past few years. It was founded in 2013 with 18 employees and $2.3 million in revenue. And since then, it's grown to 100 employees and over $13 million in revenue. And they have a really unique culture, which Wesley will tell us about. Wesley is also the author of the new book, Violent Leadership, which was published by Forbes Books. It's a guide to innovative and disruptive leadership. And he's going to talk to us about his unique approach to running his firm and how it has achieved its success. But first, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
Did you know 75% of people now prefer to pay by credit or debit? With CPA Charge, you can let your clients pay their bill online and you'll get the reporting details you need for easy reconciliation. AICPA members can sign up at cpacharge.com/podcast and get your program fee waived for 6 months.
Hello, Wesley. Nice to have you.
Hi, Courtney. Thank you for this opportunity.
We are happy to have you.
Yeah, this is always a lot of fun to talk about growth and culture and innovation in CPA firms.
Can you tell me how you came to found your firm?
Yeah, you know, it's a pretty interesting story that I was a partner in a fairly large firm here in Houston, and my team, I had really grown with me there and brought up, and we just got to a point where we felt like we weren't able to really grow the practice and manage the practice like was our vision. My partner, Stan Raines, I'd hired him right out of college, and my audit partner, James Zapata, had joined us a few years later. And we just decided along the way that maybe the best thing for us to do was to step out and do this with our vision and our way. And so we did. We left just before 2013. We left. We actually launched the firm January the 1st of 2013. And we left with 18 people. And we had done about $2.3 million in revenue that year. And so we didn't leave, you know, with like a complete startup. But we did have a blank slate, and we had a good base. We had people that had been with us a long time that believed in us and believed that we would just make the right decisions and do some great things. And so far, you know, every year we grew, and we just kept doing what we were doing. And this last year, or this 2017, we'll finish this year out somewhere around a little over $13 million. And I think going into the year, we'll have right at 100 people that'll be in our firm. So it's been an incredible ride for the last 5 years from a growth and a growth perspective. It starts with just the way we manage our practice. And so as partners, the one thing out of the gate that we had our first meeting to found the firm and plan it out was, you know, I said, guys, when we get together like this, we've got to sit down and look at our firm as a business. Take your CPA hat off, leave it out there in the hallway, and when we come in this room, let's manage this practice like a business, like Google or Apple or GE or Ford, you name it. What would those companies do in these various areas? And let's learn from that. Let's do that. If we walk in and it's very open concept, we don't have doors in our offices, and we have a, you know, It's the golden tee machine and the shuffleboard, and you know, we don't have a receptionist. It's an iPad, and I mean, there's just probably 10 or 15 more things I could talk about that we'd do differently.
Now you have some interesting roles at your firm, such as a client experience officer, client relationship managers, employee experience officer. Can you tell us about some of those?
We actually have a very very good practice development group. In fact, it's a partner who is not a CPA, who has no experience as a CPA, who is our practice growth partner. And so we manage that just as you would see it, maybe many of your clients, you know, using Salesforce, being accountable, doing lead generation, having a website that generates leads for us, inbound marketing, content marketing, and all these terms are all things that most CPA firms, for the most part, are pretty foreign to. What we need you to do is go be a good CPA. Because what we know is, if you go give great client service to your clients and you're a great CPA, you know what? It will grow. And so along the way, we're going to have things in place, processes, procedures, people in place that support that growth by taking that off of you and just allowing you to be who you are and be great at what you are and not try to be something you're not. We're not going to try to make you the rainmaker of the firm or the organization. We want you to be a great CPA, because I believe that when CPAs do those things and they have the right processes and procedures and people in place, you know what, the firm just grows as a result. And the client experience has been something that's important to us. And so we measure that. And so we begin to notice how do people measure the client experience? And as we started looking into that, and I bought everyone the book, The Apple Experience, and we spent one year focused on just the client experience. And from that came this client experience officer, who's someone whose only focus is to measure and to maximize the client experience. And we measure that by net promoter score. I know that's in corporate America, that's a fairly common term, NPS, that you hear. But when you talk about CPA firms, every time I speak, they look and you go, What's NPS again? So NPS is, it's the one question that you get asked when you poll a client, and the question is, how likely are you to refer us to someone else on a scale of 1 to 10? And so what happens is, when the client responds, they it's one question and it's 1 to 10, and so I believe it's, if they respond 8 to 10, those people are called promoters. Okay. And so those are people who really talk about your brand and love you and say great things. If they give you a 7 or an 8, they're passives, which means they don't talk good, don't talk bad. They're happy. But then you have those that are 6 or below that are called detractors. And what they're doing is, they're actually out there working against you. And so when you look at some of the great firms that are out there, whether it's Apple or and so generally 50 or above is actually a good score. Mm-hmm. So we started measuring it, and it's been a great experience for us. And so our client experience officer, what she does is, when we get those detractors, and it does happen, it's her job to get with that client, or sometimes even a former client. And she's fully empowered to solve their problems, whatever that is. And so I found in our organization, and probably most CPA firms, there's a lot of roles that CPAs just are not suited for. But as a profession, we keep forcing our CPAs into those roles. And so what we've done is just said, we're not going to do that. You talked about the client relationship manager. And that's a role that every firm actually already has. They have someone that does a task. So in our case, it was the tax return process. We're primarily a tax firm. We do it all, but we primarily tax. And so we had a lot of tax return processors. Well, you know, with technology today, tax return processing is not anywhere what it used to be, you know, even 5 years ago. So no paper, no stapling, no W-2s. We just don't do that anymore. So we decided to refocus the job description and say, you know what, you're going to have to process those returns. You are going to have to do that. But instead of you being a tax return processor or assistant or whatever, and we give you your title based on your task, we're going to focus you on your purpose, which is to be a client relationship manager. And so Blanca is the CRM for my team. And what she does is, she is completely an advocate for that client. And if the client needs something, they're going to call her. And she's good at it. She's great at client service. She's great at keeping us in line. I'll take her to a meeting with me, with a client, and introduce her as their client relationship manager. And she'll sit in that meeting, and she will simply play the role of listening, taking notes. But when the meeting's over, she's the one saying to the client and to me, okay, client, here's what you promised you would do. Wes, here's what you promised we would do. And then she keeps us accountable for that. And so we found, by having our people focused on their purpose, not their task, it really changed their whole demeanor and their outlook. And I'm going to tell you that that one change has revolutionized our firm in terms of the client. It's why our client experience, our net promoter score, I think I saw it last month, was 75. And what we do, we post it in our firm like it's a big poster. And every month we erase it and write the new one up so everybody knows where we're at. Our people, their compensation is tied to it. So we believe that if you really want to promote that inside your firm, client service and client experience, all of these things have to tie into that strategy.
So your book is called Violent Leadership, which is a somewhat controversial title.
Yeah, it
Can
is.
Tell me why you chose this name for it.
I've lived my life off of this one scripture out of the Bible, and it says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. But when you really dig into the roots of those words and you go, well, what does it mean, violent like we think it is? Well, what you find is it means nothing like we think it is. It really talks about people who are proactive and who get things done and who just take hold of the situation and make it happen. It happened to get translated into the word violent, which is not like in our society how we think of violence. It's actually a very positive and energetic sort of pursuit of purpose and success. And so that's what the book is based on, because it was my story, and it is how it's the one thing that stuck with me throughout my life was that just take hold of the situation and making things happen has been my style. And so, it's grown and evolved, but it all comes back to that root, and so that led to the name, and that's how the title came about.
You say in the book that you are an introvert, which is pretty common among CPAs, and yeah. Yet you have this very assertive and proactive leadership style. Can you maybe give us some advice?
So I'll tell you a little secret is on my calendar, I have a reminder, get up and walk around, because what I'll do is I will sit right here at my desk and work like there's no tomorrow, and never even think twice about interacting with one person in this office if I don't make it a point and be intentional about it. So yeah, it's not easy. It's in our nature, and even me, somehow I learned along the way to be less introverted.
In your book, you use the metaphor of being a thermostat as opposed to a thermometer. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
The analogy is people that are thermometers, they are affected by the temperature of the people around them. So a thermostat, on the other hand, is something that, you know, when you decide the room's too cold or too hot, you go to the thermostat and you make a change, and that thermostat controls the temperature of the environment we're in. And I find as a leader that my job is to be a thermostat. And I realize that the majority of people are affected by the tone and the way we walk around, the way we talk, and the passion and the energy. And so if I want my team to have passion and energy, I have to be that thermostat. And I find that it motivates people. For example, maybe creates a sense of urgency. It keeps them happy and energetic and focused. But it comes from being a thermostat and walking around the office and interacting with people and knowing that you set the tone.
So you are in the tax space, and we hear all the time that a lot of tax work is going to be lost in the future due to automation. What are you doing in your firm to ensure that you'll still have work in the coming years?
Yeah, well, we started that with the end in mind. And so when we launched our firm, one thing that was important to us was that we didn't become just another tax return shop, because quite frankly, I don't enjoy that. And so it's not really what I want to do. And so our tagline of our firm is ideas, answers, and results. And we have our team focused on providing ideas, answers and results. And we know, we believe we talk about purpose, and that the purpose of our firm is to add value and to empower our clients and our people. And the more we do that, and the more we start moving into that, and accepting that advisory role, and understand that clients want more than a tax return. And if all they want is a tax return, you know what? They probably should be somewhere else, because that's just not the right client for us. The right client for us would be a client that truly values the ideas that we have, the answers we have, and the results we bring to them. And as a result, we have to deliver that. And I believe that's the future of our profession, is truly in that advisory role. One thing we're doing probably a lot different is, you know, a lot of CPAs have been hesitant to move into the financial services space. And this is a space where we've moved into, and we started our RIA a year ago with zero. We started with bottom ground floor. And it's back to the belief that the tax return will be a commodity. And so if we can have a client come in and we already have the relationship on the tax side, so when we have them come in, we now talk to them about financial planning. And I believe that we'll get to a point where if we don't do financial planning for an individual client, we probably won't do their tax return. Because that's the value add. And so we have merged the two services of financial planning and tax returns. And hey, we'll get the tax return away. We'll do that for free if you're an advisory client, because that's where the real value is at. And so as CPAs, I think we have to be very, very mindful of looking at what's going on in our market and recognizing that the preparation of tax returns and quite frankly, at some level, audits will probably one day be a lot different than it is today. And that's not, I don't think that's 10 or 20 years away. That's in the short term. So we're doing all we can to be advisors and do other services for our clients that, that are valued in today's environment.
If there was one piece of advice you would want readers to take away from your book, what would it be?
Just one. I think it would have to be, change. We have to change. And if we don't change on our own, and we don't lead the change and be the change agent, we will be consumed by the change. And that's not a result that I want. And for myself or anyone, hey, look, I love our profession. I love what I do. I hope someone hears this and takes something away that, you know what, take one thing away and go, look, adopt it, copy it. That's awesome. I mean, what'll happen is you'll figure out some way to do it better, and I'll hear from you, and we'll adopt what you do. And that's what I hope happens, is we create the sea of change and sea of innovation in our profession, where we really transform our profession into something that's going to be much different than it is today.
Well, thank you, Wesley. This has been wonderful.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on. I get excited, enjoy talking about it, and could talk for hours, but I know we don't have hours.
Well, I've loved hearing about your firm and all the really innovative and creative things that you do.
Right. Well, thank you.
Once again, that was Wesley Middleton, founder and managing partner of Middleton Rain Zapata, otherwise known as MRZ, and the author of Violent Leadership. And this has been the Journal of Accountancy podcast. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.